Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is Dr. Les Olala, who co-hosts the show with me. Doc, it's great to have you today, and I'm excited about our topic this morning. In fact, we probably just ought to jump right into it to kind of catch our listeners up, especially for those who are joining us perhaps for the first time. We've been talking about failure and really just how failure works in our life. And you talked to us a little bit about the anatomy of failure and how failure works. And it starts with a present frustration over some circumstance in our life. And we trace that present frustration forward in our life to a fear. There's something that we fear coming down the pike. And that goes all the way back to maybe a failure that's occurred in the past. And then in our last broadcast together, you had illustrated this wonderfully out of the life of Jacob. In fact, we spent our entire broadcast talking about Jacob, a character in the scriptures that we don't really normally talk much about, but a wonderful example of how God can take somebody who miserably failed and was bound up in fear and transform him. And that's what we want to talk about today, how God went about transforming Jacob. And so why don't you take us through what the Lord has laid on your heart about that, and we'll interact a little bit together on that.
Well, we see he was Jacob by nature, and he became Israel by grace. And we find he was a supplanter by birth.
Okay.
And he became a prince by grace.
The name change is what
the
you
name
were,
change,
got it.
Because he knew he'd become the heir of a covenant.
Right.
There we find that change that took place. And I think the important thing we need to look at whenever we're looking at failure in our lives, that these are stepping stones to greater conformity to godlikeness,
right,
if we respond properly. As we said, failures are never final as long as God's grace is operable. And you see that over and over and over again of the goodness of God. There is no one who has come to know Christ as Savior can say, I have nothing about which I would look back at with regret.
So how did Jacob respond to this? What was it that took him from the place of frustration to really the place of faith?
Well, he wanted to get a hold of God in that wrestling. And whether this is a Christophany, we know one thing. He wrestled with God. He was wrestling in his soul, not only that, physically wrestling with this angel. And he was told, you'll halt on your thigh, but your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that you seek my name? And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.
Wow.
What he did, he got a hold of God.
Right.
And in all of our frustration, what do we need to do? We need to get a hold of God. We look at the cross. We beeline to the cross for the grace of God that is operable through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And when he said, I can't live by my way any longer, he wanted to know God blessed him. And that's where I think that desperate clinging to God came in.
That crying out.
That crying out.
Now, let me just ask this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that has this question. We think about wrestling with God. We normally think of that as a bad thing. But it doesn't seem to be presented as a bad thing here. In fact, God is the one who initiates the wrestling here.
Yeah, because God is – all of us do that. We all go through change of our character. And whether we call it physical wrestling or – but we know there's a wrestling in our spirit because there's a discontent. There's a dissatisfaction about how we are. We know there's something empty. There's something missing. When we get desperate enough, we begin to cry out unto God.
And so there's this struggle that happens.
Yeah, and we are crying out. We're not grabbing anything physically.
Right.
But we are emotionally and with our spiritual vision grabbing a hold of God. And we see Jacob finally saying – this place is Peniel, for I've seen God face to face. And he rose over Penuel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted on his thigh. The night was over. That long night of wrestling was over. A new touch of God on his life. But now he leaves there limping. And every time he'd limp, he'd say, God's good. God is gracious. God is good. God is gracious. Like Paul was touched. 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I will glory in mine infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But during that night, a name change took place. Names were very significant.
Right.
And his name was supplanter, Jacob. Now it was Israel, prince.
Somebody said that the name in the Old Testament really spoke to your character.
Yes.
That oftentimes names revealed what you were. And in this case, that would certainly be true.
Yeah,
Jacob, God knew he was going to be a supplanter, and so, you know, instructed his parents to name him that. And now here's this name change, and it comes after this season of wrestling. And you know, as a counselor, Doc, and I have certainly faced it in the pastorate, where you have people, and it just seems like they go through this extended period of time where they're crying out to God, and God just doesn't seem to be answering them. He's there. They know he's there. His grace is sufficient. But it's like you're saying here, it's an all-night process for them.
When we're dealing with past failures, I believe there are at least four steps that are involved before I can come to a position of forgetting. Paul says, forgetting that which is past,
right,
pressing forth. I think, first of all, we need to recognize what God is doing in us. We need to recognize what this is sin. This impatience, this running ahead of God is sin.
Right.
And what is it in our lives that we have to, okay, I recognize my pride. I finally recognize I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm no longer bowing my back, and I'm no longer fighting internally. I recognize that is sin. Then I repent of it. That is, I'm going one direction, and now I'm going completely another direction regarding that. So I come to repentance regarding that thing, and that change takes place. And then I replace, restore. For example, let's say if I'm troubled about having stolen something. Well, I can recognize and I can repent, but the next step may be, okay, I need to make restoration. I'm going to go and make that right. I'm going to go and return what was taken with interest, or I'm going to do whatever with interest. I remember a friend of mine with whom I was in ministry. He went to get a paper, and he took two. Didn't know it. Then we got there, said, well, nobody's perfect. So he walks away from the machine with two papers instead of one. Well, that thing chewed at him for a couple of weeks. And he finally wrote to the paper company and sent this 50 cents or whatever it was to them. And it made big news. I mean, it hit some of the AP UPI wire services regarding this guy wanting to get right about taking two papers for one. That's almost a humorous illustration,
right, right.
But it was something that there was restoration made. I had a guy one time come in a meeting down in Kentucky under deep conviction, and he said, I frustrated, afraid, but he said, in the past, he said, I had a car I hated. He said, I blew it up and made it look like an accident.
Seriously.
And he said, yeah. He said, what should I do? And I said, well, find the insurance company and make restoration.
Unbelievable.
Because you deceived. And I said, how badly do you want this thing straightened out, and how badly do you want freedom in your soul? And he said, I want it bad enough. I said, even to pay that, yes. He came back the next night as free as could be because he took care of them. So that's restoration and then replacement, putting off that which is past, putting on that which is new. And there's where the Word of God, putting on the new, putting off the old. You can't just sit in morbid retrospection, or you're going to end up in a real hole. You'll never
right.
know the victory. You'll never know the walk.
Right.
You're not to live your life meditating on all of your past sin. That was taken care of at Calvary. But where there is a broken fellowship, that thing needed to be settled.
Right.
So replacement is by the Word. James 1:21 is a great verse. In fact, I preach a message through that area called Satan's LSD trip, lust, sin, death.
Huh.
And then it goes where the victory is. And James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness of the flesh and overflowing of wickedness, superfluity of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So that's put off. Now I put on. John 15:4, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. And so there is that restoration that takes place. Then you can forget. So I recognize, I repent, I restore where possible. Then I replace with positive, with the truth.
Let me jump in here because we've been talking in terms of a sin maybe that you've committed and that's eating at you. But, you know, I can see this working in the reverse where somebody has sinned against you and you're angry about that and you're harboring that anger in your heart. And you have to come to the place where you recognize that that's sin.
Right, because you cannot decide for someone else, but you can, by God's grace, respond rightly to whatever situation that you're in.
And when you hold on and you refuse to do that and try to put a cloak of righteousness over that, you become in bondage like Jacob did.
Yeah, and you become like your focus.
It actually leads you into the same kinds of sin, just from a different perspective. Is that what you're saying?
It may not be the same sin, but it's the same nature of it.
Right.
And it had the same effect on the emotion.
The same hardness of heart.
Yes.
The same. And so the recognize, the repent, the restore, and the replace are important catalysts to bringing a breaking to that process. Is that?
Yeah, I believe it's very important, because then I am now, I forget that which is past, because I've covered the bases where I can, humanly speaking. Before God, it's clean. Now I need to make some steps where those would have barriers, would have points of accusation. Then I can forget.
So that takes care of my past.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the present? Now,
the present,
what happens to my frustration now if I've dealt with the past?
Well, I focus on the cross. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Now I have a life of forgiveness. I realize I'm forgiven and no longer look at that past. It's forgiveness. The future is no longer fear, but faith.
So all of those three things that I was in bondage to are now replaced with three new things.
Yeah, I have forgiveness instead of the frustration. I can forget instead of the failure. And I have faith instead of walking by fear.
Wow. And that's the spirit-filled life, in essence.
That's right. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Let me say a word to our listeners, but before I do that, let me ask you a question that I want you to kind of end with today. Why is it so hard? Why is what we're saying here so hard? And while you think on that, let me just thank you who are listening to the program today for your prayers and your support. Many of you have been calling, some of you have been writing. We're thankful to the Lord for you, and we're glad the program is meeting your needs. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. And obviously, one of the things that you can do is ask the Lord how you can help keep us on the air. If you desire to write us or to communicate what God is doing in your life, you can write to the address at the end of the program or contact us via the webpage. For those of you sending a donation of $10 or more into the program, we will send you a copy of Dr. Olala's book, A Man Among Them, The Les Olala Story. So we'll look forward to hearing from you as the Lord prompts your heart and as the Lord works in you. Doc, how come it's so hard for us to do this?
Well, you recognize, first of all, that it's sin. Then I agree with God.
Okay.
I repent of it. Then I make restoration where possible. And then I replace with that which is positive. I start doing the positive instead of that which was wrong. Then that's past. Then instead of middle frustration, it's future. It's the forgiveness. And then instead of fear of the future, I walk by faith. But
well,
we wrestle.
Why is it hard?
Because of pride. Because we feel we can pull this off, and we don't want to become dependent. We think, I made this bed, I'll lay in it, I'll take the hits, instead of saying, hey, the hit was already taken for me.
Amen.
And by God's grace, I accept it.
Well, Doc, thank you. This has been a great topic. We look forward to seeing how God uses it in our lives.